drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
By Glenview Park Golf Club, Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan. We're talking golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, you can take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app, and you can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Good morning to you, Mike. The weather is certainly shaping up to be pretty nice. It seems like this whole weekend, maybe a little bit of rain in there as well, but should be plenty of opportunity to get on out to the course of the range this weekend. So looking forward to all of that.
Well, good morning, Tyler, and good morning, Chicago, and a pre-happy Mother's Day to all of the great moms out there, including my own. We're in for some great weather coming up. Even today, a little in and out of the clouds and you know, a little bit of spitting rain here and there, but nothing to detract the true golfer from doing what they do best, and that's chasing that white thing around a nice green nice green fairways and rough.
Yep, no doubt about that. We do have the PGA Championship coming up this week on Thursday, so that's going to be fantastic. All the way out in Rochester, Oak Hill Country Club, the site of the 2023 PGA Championship. Going to be a great time. You've got some great intel on Oak Hill as a golf course, as someone who lived in Rochester and was an honorary member, so we'll talk about that in about 10 minutes from now. Looking forward to all of that. But when you look at the upcoming PGA Championship and the field and everything that we're going to sort of see starting on Thursday, fascinating stuff, because it's the return of LIV guys that are intermingling, but not all of the LIV guys that will be intermingling among the group here. So thinking a little bit about what we saw at the Masters, right? How great was that drama? There was a lot of LIV in the thick of things right out of the gate. You had Brooks tied for the lead after day one. He was standalone lead after day two and three. And then ultimately, Jon Rahm takes over on that fourth day. A lot of questions, though, about some of these LIV guys. Can they do the full four rounds again, right? Well, I would actually say, even though Brooks was the guy that sort of, quote-unquote, fell off of the lead after the first being in a share of the lead or in sole possession of the lead after the first 3 days, even though there was that, the rest of the LIV field, it felt like, actually made up ground on that fourth day. When you look at guys like Patrick Reed and also Phil Mickelson, like, the LIV guys actually kind of showed out on that fourth day, and I think that just even furthers into the drama of what we're set up to see starting on Thursday out in Central New York.
Couldn't agree more. You know, in fact, I think this is going to be part two of must-see TV for us because of what transpired at Augusta. The main question that's out there are, will these guys be able to now do what they did at Augusta, a venue that they're pretty familiar with because they play it every year, assuming they get the invite and either qualify and et cetera. In this case, they're going to Oak Hill Country Club. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's no disco. This is a big boy golf course. It is tree lined. It has hosted some of the greatest U.S. Open championship, PGA championships, Ryder Cup matches. This place is so rich in tournament history. It is going to be a challenge. And if the weather cooperates, that's going to be helpful. But I can tell you right now, having lived in upstate New York, that rough is going to be deep.
Yes.
Those greens are going to be fast. And it's going to be so different than anything that they're seeing this week in Tulsa. That is for sure. So the question is, will these guys put up the same kind of, stats and have the success? Or will this really show the difference between a PGA Tour player and a LIV player and really separate the cream from the rest of the crop?
You brought up the weather that we could be seeing. Now, As two veterans of living in upstate New York for a couple of years, we know that the weather can be dicey, especially this time of year. You never know what you're going to get. You could get the most gorgeous day of the entire year. You could also get 6 inches of snow, mm-hmm. right? So as we take a little premature look at some of the weather that's going to be taking place out there, it does look like there's going to be some rain, but I don't think temperatures are going to be a huge issue out there. Nothing looks to be below 65 in terms of a high out there. Now, you're going to see some cold rounds, especially some of those people that are going off in the mornings, right? But outside of that, I think when you look at a little bit of showers, you can live with, but the temperatures being 65 for a high plus the whole way, you take that and run with it, I think.
Well, you do. And in Rochester, I'm going to tell you right now, if you get anything in the 60s, you got people in shorts. Tops are down.
Oh, my.
I mean, yeah. In fact, a lot of people will probably not be wearing their shirts.
65 is 85 out there.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I think their blood is like molasses right now.
The first day it gets above 50 in Syracuse, you get people outside on their porches, music blaring, people in shorts, drinking outside, like that's what it is. And Rochester, obviously no different, just being a hop and a skip away.
Right. And Rochesterians, for that matter, are some of the, it's the greatest volunteer community I have ever been around. This city will roll out the red carpet unlike any other city that I've ever been at for a major championship. They host a PGA Tour event, is the most popular one on tour, the most spectated one, and they have adopted that as their very own. This is a very golf-starved, golf-crazy community, and a well-educated one at that. But yeah, the weather will be of interest. If you get any wind going at Oak Hill, especially if it comes off of Lake Superior, it may be 65, but it's going to feel like 50.
Yeah.
And so that's really going to be the thing I'm going to watch, is how much the wind will play a part of this, because, you know, rain really doesn't bother these guys, but wind does. And trying to put the ball in a particular spot on these greens is going to be absolutely critical to the success of any player to make the cut, let alone contend for the lead. So really, the ability for them to not only put the ball in the fairway, but to make sure it lands where they want it to on these greens. Otherwise, they're going to be staring at a lot of three putts, and you could actually even see a four putt, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yep. And again, with the wind and stuff like that, like, you don't know which way it's going to be swirling, because like you mentioned, you are getting that lake breeze coming onto the course there. So as we look sort of at the field, we do know a couple of things, right? No Tiger Woods in this event. We kind of hit on that when the news came out that he was having an additional surgery. So it was kind of expected we're not going to see Tiger Woods. Kind of expected we probably don't see him for the rest of the year, and maybe even into some of next year as well. The guy on the fence to watch, and maybe the most important watch heading in to Rochester this upcoming week, is Jordan Spieth. He withdrew from the Byron Nelson this week, and this is that last stone for him to complete the career Grand Slam. Right out of the gate in his career, he picks up a couple of majors, and then he gets the Open Championship in 2017. And he's just been stuck on three now for over 5 years. And right out of the gate of his career, it felt like, well, it's not if, it's when, mm-hmm. with Jordan Spieth when he completes the career Grand Slam. But now, as time has sort of worn on a little bit longer and longer and longer, here we are in 2023, and Jordan Spieth is still looking for that elusive PGA Championship. And it would be a real shame if he weren't able to participate in this because of that wrist injury.
Exactly. And, you know, that's probably going to be the most watched wrist in the world for the next week or so, or for the next few days anyway, until he makes his decision. And my fear again is that rough in his wrist. Yeah. This is not going to be playing anywhere near like at Augusta. This is going to be polar opposite. They're going to be chopping this stuff back out into the fairway and having to accept the fact that they drove it poorly. This is going to be a different way for us to watch them, you know, manage themselves around a golf course with this kind of rough. And it takes a toll on the forearms, the hands, the elbows, the wrists, and you get anything close to any of these big oak trees that they have there, roots become of an issue, and that's probably, I'm going to guess, had something to do with some of the wrist injury he had to begin with. So, you know, even if he plays, he's one swing away from, you know, pulling out because of a withdrawal, because of injury. And that's the fear. So his bid for his personal Grand Slam is, you know, is on thin ice. I'll just say that.
By the way, this segment brought to you by Tour Edge. So as you look at what we're going to be watching for the next couple of days with Spieth, like, what does your gut tell you? Do you think we see him in this event? And do you think he's making the cut if he does end up participating? And that includes, do we potentially see him withdraw after the first round or two?
Yeah, I mean, from what I'm hearing and reading, his wrist is not in good shape. But knowing he's a gamer and knowing that he is a bulldog and a competitor like none other, I think he's going to play. It's just how long will he last and how well will the wrist respond? Honestly, I didn't pick him just because I just feel that if you go with any sort of, you know, chink in the armor into Oak Hill, it's not going to bode well for you. You got to be firing on all cylinders, and you need to be healthy. You need to be healthy not only internally and mentally, but physically you have to be able to go through a 72-hole grind. And that's what these LIV players are really in for, a rude awakening versus what they witnessed in Augusta.
Yep, no doubt about that. All right, when we come back, and by the way, we do have to give our picks. We're going to have our fantasy golf picks. We'll do that a little bit later on. Teddy Greenstein will join us from PointsBet coming up at 8:35. Sarah Bush, the director of golf relations for Fold of Honor, will join us as well. That's coming up at 9:35. And we want to hear from you as well. You got a pick for us for the PGA Championship, or you want to talk about what's coming up on the championship schedule as well? 312-332-3776. This is the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Mike, you spent a lot of time in Rochester, like we've sort of detailed here, and you're an honorary member at Oak Hill. So you're going to give us the lay of the land of Oak Hill Country Club when we come back out in Rochester. 312-332-3776 if you want to join the conversation as well. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
The segment is brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, previewing the PGA Championship with you. A course that Mike Gilligan, very, very familiar with, up in Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester, New York, as you were an honorary member there for 2 years, and you put together all sorts of golf tournaments out at Oak Hill Country Club. So just can you relay to the people here sort of what your relationship is with that golf course?
Sure. I was the tournament director for the PGA of America for the better part of almost 13 years. And during my time, I worked and orchestrated, coordinated, and directed 10 PGA championships and 5 Ryder Cups. And the 1995 Ryder Cup was located in Oak Hill, at Oak Hill in Rochester. So my wife and I moved from Inverness Club in Toledo up there and spent the better part of 2 years, and I oversaw everything from television to portalettes and everything in between. And, you know, it's really helping conduct a major championship in a community that doesn't host this on a regular year-to-year basis. Right. So basically the planning of these majors go as much as 5 years in advance before, you know, you get to showtime. And so my heart and my, you know, my mind is with these people because I know what they're going through as they sit there today. Mm-hmm. It is polishing off, getting those last things set up, because you're about to flip the switch on Monday, and you're going to have, and especially up in Rochester, practice rounds will be packed.
Yes.
It's not going to be like, oh, there's hardly anybody here today. Oh, no. It will be sold out. It has been sold out. And that's just how Rochester rolls. It is so very, very cool how they embrace tournament golf up there. So I had the luxury and the experience of being able to, you know, understand the culture, the history of what Oak Hill brings to the game of golf. And, you know, they've hosted everything from the U.S. Amateur to multiple U.S. Opens to PGA Championships to Senior Opens to Ryder Cups. And of all of the things that happened, the greatest story is the 1989 PGA or the 1989 U.S. Open. When, believe it or not, and you'll probably hear about it this week, is at the sixth hole when four aces were made in under 2 hours. So what happened on Friday is at 8:15, a player by the name of Doug Weaver knocked one in the hole. Now, mind you, back then, without the technology that we have today, the way scores were called into Scoring Central was on an open phone line. So there were 18 people on the 18 green reporters all on a shared line. And you would, with a headset, just call in when there was a break. Say, hey, this is the sixth hole, and I'm calling in for Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, and Charlie Bevins. And they had a 3-3 and a 2. And so you'd report it back. Well, this particular woman was the greens reporter. And so she called in the first hole and won. About just under an hour later, there was another one. And then 20 minutes later, there was a third. And at that point, the person in the scoring control said, now, let me explain to you what really a hole-in-one is. It's not when you make a birdie putt. And the woman said on the line, so that everyone could hear loud and clear, I know what a hole-in-one looks like.
And that was the original mansplain.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Well, in the very next group, Nick Price makes the fourth hole-in-one, and they all use 7-irons. And at that point, she took the headset off and handed it to another volunteer and said, you got to call this one, and they'll never believe me. So the odds of that happening are absolutely astronomical, but it's just one of the cool stories when you go into a club so rich in golf history, the four aces at Oak Hill.
And just like that, a LIV team was born.
And just like that.
So, there's a lot of really cool things that are sort of taking place with the PGA. And I think the interesting thing, and something that I certainly understand too, that you brought up, was that the practice rounds and basically this entire tournament, this is the event, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is the premier event in Central New York, maybe for this 5-year span. Because if you know anything about that area, like, not a lot happens. For the most part, it's a minor league area, right?
That's
like
exactly
you've got a
right.
little bit of Buffalo, but that we think Rochester. There's minor league baseball there. There's minor league hockey there. There's a little bit of collegiate sports with Syracuse there. There's also minor league sports in Syracuse, but upstate is mostly a quote unquote minor league area, and because of that, when you get professionals at the highest level coming to your city, the entire area is going to swarm there as a result. And I think it's pretty similar to Southern Hills too, where like Tulsa, Oklahoma, home of the PGA Championship last year, that's the biggest show in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right? Everyone is going to be there because that is the event, especially for the summer too, when you're out of football season in Oklahoma. That is the premier thing going on there. So this is so important to those people, and that's why I'd expect, and I think you're in agreement, that the turnout is going to be spectacular for this event, because this is what everyone, this is sort of the event that the sports calendar revolves around in this area for this decade, maybe even.
Yeah, they've been looking at this date on the calendar, this week on the calendar, for years now. And when you consider not only locally, the city of Rochester, and more specifically, the little town of Pittsford. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about Monroe County, and you're also talking about state getting involved with this. They will have state troopers. They will have everybody from traffic engineers, the troopers. Everybody is going to have a role in making this thing successful. And to your point, this is, in fact, the Super Bowl of golf for this given area. It is the big fish in a pond here.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be supported, and it's going to resonate, and it will show through loud and clear on television. And I'm so happy for these people. I just hope that the weather does, in fact, cooperate. Because traditionally, as we know, this event used to be played for many, many years in August. And now switching it to May is great for the PGA of America because it now sits in between nicely the U.S. Open and the Masters. When in before, it became sort of that fourth one we sort of forgot about at the end of the year. August being the highest vacation time in corporate America, you know, our lawns being very thin. It's tough to grow rough, consequently, at golf courses. So the old feeling of, well, the PGA doesn't set their courses up as hard as the USGA. That is the biggest false narrative. I can't even stand it. Back in August, they just couldn't get the same agronomy type conditions that the US Open, but now they can. And now you're going to see the teeth of Oak Hill, because the previous PGAs in recent history, the 2013, and let me think, what was the other one? When else did they go back there? 2003. When Sean McKeel won there. So those were in August. So those scores, throw them out the window, because this course is going to play a lot harder because we're now in May.
Right. And I do like that it is a May event now, because it kind of closes that gap too between your majors.
It does.
Like, there was that open window pretty much all of April, pretty much all of May. Like, you got the Masters at the beginning of April, like in that second weekend. But then you close that gap now in between May, where, especially now, where there's some of these tournaments that just don't have the same level of juice, and it's good to have a major sitting there in May to sort of get people reinvigorated with the game, and there be not meaningful golf, but I guess more meaningful golf being played between what you see with the Masters and then ultimately what you see with the U.S. Open. I think having that in there to sort of close that gap up a little bit is really good for the sport.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, there is some speculation that maybe this event will return back to its roots and become a match play again event, because, you know, obviously we said goodbye to the match play event earlier in Texas. So there is some discussion, but again, you're leaving yourself exposed to perhaps having a semifinal and a final that's sort of lackluster in that regard. But I will say this, to your point, it does fill a void. And not only does it fill a void, but they have 99 of the top 100 players in the field. It's the only all-professional field of all four majors. Think about it. Yeah. U.S. Open, the British Open, and the Masters all have amateurs playing in this. Now, mind you, there will be 20 club professionals mixed into the group.
Right.
But statistically speaking, the PGA Championship, year after year after year, puts together the strongest field in golf every year. So this is going to be the strongest field in 2023.
Do you like that?
Do I like that?
Do you like that this is a no amateur event? Because, I mean, you look back to the Masters, and we see a great story with Sam Bennett, right? And now he's going to be a guy who cannot play in this event because he is an amateur. And so you kind of remove some of those stories from an event like this. But on the other side of the coin, you are getting the strongest field possible.
Yes, and I think because it is the PGA of America and they are about the 30,000 golf professionals in the world, I don't know that we'll ever see an amateur in the field with this particular event, and I'm okay with that. Do I wish there were amateurs in there? Absolutely, just because of the narrative that you reference and the stories that come along with it. But I think it is important for us, though, in the game to have an all-professional field. And I think this checks that box very nicely. And I like the fact that the PGA Championship can continue to boast that they, statistically speaking, put the strongest field out on a golf course. And to me, this will be the ultimate litmus test for LIV, for the LIV players, to see how do they and truly fare in a field like this on a venue like this. So, you know, the PGA of America had been criticized back in the late 80s into the early 90s with some very iffy, kind of questionable venues, which really didn't really have the media all in agreement saying that they're doing the right thing, going to the right places. So I think some of their venues that they have picked have been, you know, average to almost below average from a major championship perspective. But that's all been since tweaked in the early 90s. And we ended up going to many more historical venues to rebuild the brand and the status of the PGA Championship. And I think today it's alive and well as a result. And I look for just amazing things in the future for the PGA of America.
So as someone who's played this course in the month of May, which is something that most, if not all, of this field that we are going to see has not done, in your eyes, what is going to be the most difficult part for all of these players? Is it going to be off the tee? Is it going to be fairways and roughs? Or is it going to be on the greens?
Well, I think once they get it to the greens, those greens are devilishly difficult to read and navigate. But I think where they are going to struggle, depending on exactly how much rain they get and how soft this place ends up becoming, driving the ball and putting it where, first off, the guy that is finding the rough is not going to see the weekend whatsoever. But even though you do drive it in the fairway, it's going to be the guy who can put the ball in the green where they need to eliminate, you know, unforced errors on the green. And so I think it's the approach shots into all these greens. It's a Donald Ross golf course, which means signal, do not be long. If you are long on a Donald Ross golf course, it's like instant bogey. Add water and mix. Because getting up and down from behind any of these pin locations, or hole locations, I should say, is going to be very difficult. And so Oak Hill has the ability to flex its muscles and show its teeth on some of the longest holes, but even some of the shortest holes will play so hard, not because it's what they're finding off the tee. It's when they get to that green.
Yep. All right. When we come back, we will talk with Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet, get you your gambling preview for the upcoming PGA Championship. Looking forward to all of that. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Teddy Greenstein, when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking all things in the world of golf with you here on ESPN 1000 every single Saturday throughout the golf season. PGA Championship coming up in just a matter of days now, this Thursday, taking place out at Oak Hill in Rochester, New York. And let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, where we find Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet here on the Jersey Mike's hotline, as we are going to dive into some of the odds here of what we're looking at in the PGAs. Good morning, Teddy. How are you?
Tyler, Mike, I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Always
happy, man.
Always enjoy our tournament preview, our major previews with you, Teddy. So as we take a look at the odds right now, you've got co-favorites with John Rahm and Scotty Scheffler, each at 7-1, Rory at 10-1, the first LIV guy on the board, Brooks Koepka, at 16-1. But on the topic of LIV golf here, Teddy, I got to ask you, looking back at the Masters, how surprised were you to see as many LIV guys in that top five as we did?
Yeah, Tyler, I was surprised, especially by the Phil Mickelson part, because even Sunday morning when we all had a shot to bet him as a top 10 or a top five, I don't know how many people did it, but I was certainly not one of them. Yeah, I mean, the thought was they were going to be rusty, so, you know, avoid guys like Cam Smith. You know, the Koepka one was interesting because he was coming in hot. And Brooks, we know how he shows up for the majors. So I'd say a lot of respect for Brooks this week when you see him fourth on the board after Rahm, Scheffler, and McIlroy.
Yeah, Teddy, thinking of the LIV players and what happened at Augusta, you know, how at PointsBet, how does that factor in what you're trying to figure out in the way of odds, especially when you looked at a guy like Brandon Grace, who just fired 61, and Taylor Gooch, who's got a pair of 62s in his bag from the week prior? Are they good money or what they might be what we consider fool's gold?
Yeah, I mean, you do have to factor in those events. But, like, the thing about LIV right now is, I mean, you can't even bet the LIV events in a lot of states. Like, a lot of the state regulators don't even consider them legitimate enough to have. Fortunately, in Illinois, you can bet the LIV events at PointsBet. But, yeah, I think those guys are to be taken seriously. So the concept that oh, you know, their games aren't sharp because they're not playing the best in the world or they're not playing really tough courses. You can't just assume that they're not going to be good. I mean, this is a big, brawny course, Oak Hill in Rochester, New York. And if Brooks Koepka, you know, plays like he did Thursday and Friday at Augusta, he's going to contend.
Looking at the other guys that were in that top five from the Masters, you've got Patrick Reed. He's on the board at 66-1. Phil Mickelson at 80-1. Teddy, the way I see it, as those two guys really succeeded in that first major, these sort of seem like inflated odds a little bit here as we head into Thursday.
You know, I don't think a lot of people are going to be taking Phil to win, but he's going to be so attractive as a top 10 or a top 20 after what he did at the Masters. I mean, you know, not to pair him with Tiger, but, like, think about how divergent those two guys' games are now, you know, roughly the same age. And yet Phil, you know, he's thin, he's fit, he can get it done, at least at the Masters where he's got all that course knowledge. And, you know, he won a PGA Championship not long ago, 2 years ago. So he's done it as well. He's got to go going feeling well. So I don't think we'll get a lot of action at 80-1. On Phil, but certainly top five, top 10, top 20. And you know, once the week goes on, as we get into Monday, Tuesday, we'll be posting, you know, head-to-head matchups and the three balls.
And then, Teddy, what about Jordan Spieth? How does PointsBet look at his situation? And is that sort of a day-by-day we watch what will happen with the odds? Because, you know, he is where he is now, but do you anticipate that staying that way? Or what do you think will happen?
Yeah, I mean, I backed him at Quail Hollow, and he had one of the worst rounds I've ever seen. I think he was, what, 7-over on Friday a couple weeks ago? Mm-hmm. That's a bad sign, but he's just a guy you can't count out, you know? I mean, sometimes you'll look at him in the middle of a round and say, forget this guy, and then he'll go, you know, back-to-back birdies and get right back into it. So, you know, it's been a little while for him in terms of major, but he's right there at plus 2,000 at 20-1, you know, that's the same territory as Xander Schauffele and around where Patrick Cantlay is.
Teddy Greenstein's our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. So one of the intriguing names near the top of the board, Rory McIlroy at 10-1, missed the cut at the Masters. How are you feeling about Rory as we head into this event?
Yeah, I'm feeling that I'll never back him in the Masters again. he just wants it too bad. I mean, it was the big three heading into the Masters with Rahm, Scheffler, and McIlroy, and now it's the big two. I mean, we know how much John Rahm wins. We saw it at Augusta. Scottie Scheffler, of course, dominating this week in Texas. He was the pre-tournament favorite at, like, plus 400, and I just glanced. He's minus 190 to get it done in San Antonio. And Rory is... He's still Rory. Hasn't won a major in forever, but every time, you know, you see him drive the ball, you say this is going to be the week. And look, at Oak Hill, it's going to take a big hitter. Talking about the two par fives, 600-plus yards, seven par fours, over 460. So it's not going to be somebody who slaps it around.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And speaking of, you know, people to watch out for, my pick, and it's been, you know, I've said it for weeks on end. My pick is Patrick Cantlay. We have him at, what, like 22-1? What are your thoughts on him? And then who's Teddy's dark horse for this year?
Yeah. Well, Cantlay's only 18-1 with us. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, obviously the points bet guys are respecting your pick, Mike, and maybe firmed him up a little bit. You know, I'm probably going to take Tony Finau. I like the fact that he's won almost as much as anybody in the last year. I think John Rahm is the only guy who has more victories since July. And when Tony wins, he wins by a lot. Four shots is the average margin there. So he's looking good, obviously just won in Mexico. And then when you scroll down a little bit, you know, guys like Tommy Fleetwood and Tyrrell Hatton. Tyrrell got some TV time yesterday. I think those are guys who, you know, who you have to think about. Taylor Gooch is also there at 50-1. So those would be the ones that I'm going to, you know, grind on and study. And then I think, you know what everybody's going to do? Everybody's going to bet Ricky Fowler top 10 or top 20 because he's been consistently solid. So given his pre-tournament outright of plus 7,000, you know, 70-1, you're going to be able to get some good money there off the top five or top 10.
And we know how he likes to slide in late on that Sunday as well, get inside that top 10. As we take a look, you brought up Patrick Cantlay. Tony Finau is another name here. Those are two guys that would be first-time major winners. In your eyes, Teddy, do you feel like this is an event where we're going to see a first-time major winner?
Certainly could. Certainly hope so, given my pick of Finau. I also have a future on Patrick Cantlay to win a major this year at plus 650, so that would be more than fine with me. You know, last year, you know, I'm scrolling down. I see Matthew Fitzpatrick for the PGA Championship is 25-1. He was a first-time winner last year at the U.S. Open. So, yeah, a lot of these guys could be getting it done for the first time.
So, Teddy, we were just talking earlier about the four aces that happened back in 1989. Does PointsBet have any sort of interesting prop bets for the PGA Championship that we should take notice to?
Oh, remind me. What's the 1989 with the aces?
There were four hole-in-ones within 2 hours on the sixth hole.
So, I wish I could have gotten a crack at it.
I know. You know. They all hit seven irons. So, but, yeah, just wondering if there was anything in you know, from a prop perspective that might be of interest.
Not yet. I mean, right now we only have the outrights open. So, okay. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is when the guys, like, get creative and a bet like that. I mean, you might need to send me a little message and remind me, because I could get something like that priced up. You know, that's where where I'd love to get creative with stuff like that. You know, a couple years ago, it was, will Tiger make a 10 or worse on any hole at the Masters? And it actually happened.
Yep.
On number 12. And then we had, you know, will any player make a 10 or worse on the Island Green? And Ben Ahn was kind enough to make it 11 that year. So these kind of novelty bets are fun, and hopefully we'll have some up.
Well, it would just be interesting to have the odds of just having one hole-in-one on that sixth hole during the 4 days.
That we'll have. We always have hole-in-one odds for, like, individual players, and then for the par threes, I'm sure we'll definitely price that.
Real quick, Teddy, before we let you go here, Justin Thomas, the defending champion of this tournament, he's at 18-1. Obviously, it was a huge comeback effort, but
yeah.
I think one of the important lessons of last year's PGA Championship is, hey, live betting can be a lot of fun and can be very profitable, and it certainly was for anyone that backed JT last year. What is your live betting strategy during majors?
Yeah, it's probably to fade Mito Pereira. I think that would be the live betting strategy. You know, I mean, typically, you know, you're looking for experienced players, like the guys who've gotten off to a bad start. I mean, a great example would be John Rahm at the Masters, right? Double bogeys his first hole. So I think you go in with a game plan. Like, let's say you like, you know, four or five different players going in, and one of them is Patrick Cantlay, but he struggles the first round and shoots 74. That's maybe the time to take him, because if he's pre-tournament plus 1,800, you know, after he shoots 74, maybe you can get him at plus 2,800. So don't give up on the better players, because as we've seen time and time again, I mean, guys can make up, you know, 2, 3, 4 shot leads on Sunday, let alone on Friday.
Absolutely. All right, Teddy, appreciate it. Best of luck with all your wagering this week, and we will talk to you hopefully soon.
Thanks, Teddy.
Have a good boys. Have a good one.
All righty.
Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet joining us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. We're going to make our picks when we come back. The CDGA's Fantasy Golf Contest is back once again. Had a lot of fun with this during the Masters. So we will make our picks for the upcoming PGA Championship out in Rochester when we return. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000, and also live on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago if you want to watch the show. So we'll give you our PGA Championship picks coming up at 9. How about we do that? But tomorrow is Mother's Day, in case you forgot. Go out, make sure you get mom a gift out there, because tomorrow is indeed Mother's Day. Time is running out there. But I know moms are very integral parts of getting you into golf as well. I know my mother certainly is. And she was one of the people who I would go out every Mother's Day and we would play. We'd play 9 holes up at what used to be National 9, now is the Glenview Prairie Club. And it was always a good time playing with mom out on Mother's Day, and she was certainly one of the people that kind of gears you into getting into golf.
No doubt, and my mother had the same impact on me. You know, obviously my mom and dad were both mm-hmm. golfers, but yep. with my mom's side, my mother was a very good player, and as I grew up, I didn't realize she was better than most, which was yeah. kind of interesting. You kind of think, oh, my mom probably can't hang with anybody,
right.
but she was a good player back in her day and still plays a formidable game at, you know, as old as she's getting, but she still gets out there and hammers it and has a good time. So, in fact, today, she just texted me before the show and she's asking me if I can have lunch, because part of her gift is to have lunch, and then we're going to do a golf experience, whether it's hitting balls, playing, or mm-hmm. what have you. Whether we do that today or tomorrow or sometime this week remains to be seen. But, yeah, between my mother and her father, that's how I really got introduced to this game in a way that had me, you know, at hello. I mean, it caught my fancy, and couldn't wait to get down to see my grandfather in North Carolina. He, back in the 70s, he had a net and a whole thing laid out in his backyard where it was just made to play golf. And yeah. I just thought that that was like Disney World going down there. And now I could see why my mother became a good player, because of her dad.
Well, and you say North Carolina. I mean, that is a golfing yeah. haven down there. Oh, you can't go wrong down there.
No, you really can't. And, you know, and like you mentioned, don't forget about mom. And for CDGA members, we have another CDGA Saturday happening, and it's going to start in about 5 minutes mm-hmm. out at the PGA Superstore out in Downers Grove. So the first 50 CDGA members that get there are going to just be given a $20 gift card, just like mm-hmm. that. And anybody else that comes thereafter is going to get a $50 off a $250 spend. So today might be a good day to go get something from mom at
right.
PGA Superstore, just a thought.
Yeah, and hey, with the $50 off of a $250 or more as well, like, get something for mom, maybe get something for yourself too.
Absolutely.
Like, you got to reach that $250 yeah. threshold right
yep.
there. But yeah, no, I think, yeah, you're 100% right in terms of, like, the way that my mom and my mom, she has taken a little bit of a hiatus from golf now, but she told me the other day, she's like, I want to get back into it. And then I texted her, I was like, hey, what are you doing for Mother's Day? Do you want to get lunch or dinner or something like that? And she said, well, I think I may be playing golf with one of my friends. I was like, oh, really? you're already getting back into it. But yes, no, she's starting to get back into it. And I think part of it is because she hears the show every single Saturday morning. But I think part of it is also she just wants to get back out there on the course because she hasn't played in so long. So.
Well, yeah, and that's what we're seeing since the pandemic. More and more people are coming back to the game, mm-hmm. especially on the female side of the
yeah.
equation. And that is another indication of the sport is becoming healthier by day and stronger by day. And I think it's just fantastic when I see, you know, groups and groups of females together coming out, having fun and, you know, congregating at a golf course. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, before COVID, you didn't see it as much. And now with not only the female sector, but all sectors and demographics are coming back to the game that once played it, I think is spectacular. And just another sign that we're in a very strong place right now as an industry.
I always point back to the Chicago Golf Show when you and I did the show up there in Rosemont, and just you saw every demographic represented there. Men, women, kids, middle-aged, older people as well. Like, everybody was there. And I was surprised by the female turnout there, because it was shockingly high. And it just shows you how strong the sport is in all walks of life right now. And it's good to see.
It is really good to see. And you know, what I think has also helped is the equipment manufacturers have
yes.
finally sat up and took notice that we need to design golf shafts and equipment that's more user friendly for people with swing speeds, maybe not quite what the male is going to generate, but even down to the beginner. So you can actually, we eloquently reference them as licorice sticks, you know, like a very whippy shaft for somebody that's, you know, not generating the speed, but can get the results of somebody else that's generating a lot more speed. So the equipment has come so far, and it has made the game become much more enjoyable quicker. So the learning curve, if you will, and the you know, the amount of success is a curve that is so much shorter and an easier way to pick up the game now than it was, say, 20 years ago.
All right, when we come back, we will give you our PGA Championship picks. Looking forward to doing all of that. Happy Mother's Day to all out there for tomorrow. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf, without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.